Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. I hope everybody is well and blessed, doing the best they can in their current situation. Like I always say, believe this, and believe me, that change is coming. Change is on the way, so just hang on, hold on. Good things are happening and taking place every moment of every day. Today is May the 8th in the year 2016. Let me just take a moment to thank everyone that's coming out to the broadcast, listening to the broadcast, and it's growing in great number, and that's a wonderful and blessed thing, and I greatly appreciate and thank each and everyone that takes their time to listen to this broadcast. Folks, this is a serious broadcast. A lot of broadcasts will come at you with certain things in their heart, or certain things in their mind to persuade or dissuade or to steer you in a certain direction, be it politics, be it spiritual, religious, or whatever the case may be. Folks, this is not the intent of this broadcast. I think you feel the sincerity of my broadcast. I'm here to save souls. That's the utmost thing that we're here to do in this walk of life. You know, it was interesting because the other day I happened to be in the company of a number of Caucasian gentlemen, a white gentleman, and, a few of them were older and very opinionated, let's just say that, and was talking to one young man, a young white guy. He was, he's like a, I can't remember where he said it, he's from some small town, farm town, and I know that whatever it was, he was blessed. You know, he received a blessing to have the job that he had because it allowed him to travel within the region, kind of be his own boss, and to make a really good sum of money comparatively to other people there in the community. And so I was just kind of sitting there listening to the conversation, kind of on the outskirts of things, and I noticed that they were asking this young man a variety of questions. He's probably about 28, you know, somewhere 29. And he spoke about he had, you know, family and stuff like young family and, you know, how fortunate he was to have the job and all this other kind of stuff. And they were kind of, you know, kind of steering him to the mortal realm of being thankful to people or persons or men for, you know, where he's at right now and everything. But I noticed in his conversation and telling them, you know, about a little bit about his background, and this was all in about, you know, 15-minute clip, that he said that he was a pastor. He was studying the ministry and the Word of God. And when he told them this, you know, ironically, they are not, you know, I know these guys, you know, and they're not really steadfast believers. You know, they don't profess the Word of God out of their mouth too often, you know. I noticed that, you know, at the time we sup, you know, we have supper and things that we eat, you know, sometime together, that, you know, they don't even, you know, they don't pray. They don't give thanks for the work, the food that they're about to receive, or anything like that. And I don't judge them because they're still, we have a real, you know, nice relationship between us. And because we are, you know, they see my spirit and, you know, I always give, you know, share words of encouragement and, you know, uplift them and, you know, keep them kind of in check, if you will, in terms of, you know, righteousness. And I do it in a very tactful manner and things. And, you know, this particular audience of people is pretty good size and number. And we're both, let's just say, appreciative of one another. But anyhow, they were trying to kind of steer this young man, you know, to give more prayer, you know, more, you know, being more thankful to you know, humans and not pay so much attention to the spiritual aspect of his blessing. And they happened to, and God kind of pulled them all out of the room at the same time. It wasn't ironic or anything like that, but it gave me a chance to spend a little bit of one-on-one time with this young man. And I looked him in the eye, and I could feel his spirit. I could feel his sincerity in the word. And I told him, I said, regardless of what any man ever tells you or suggests to you, always hold on to the word of God. I said, because you're not concerned, be ye not concerned with the temporal or the mortal life, which is temporary and short in days and time, but be more of a concern with the eternal life, for it is forever. And where you decide and your children decide, how you raise them, you know, will decide where they spend this eternal time, you know, in the kingdom of peace and the kingdom of heaven, or, you know, someplace else that is less desirable amongst the righteous mind and heart. And he said, yes, sir. He said, I understand. He said, I greatly appreciate that. I receive what you're saying, and I will always do that. Regardless. And I know that this young man, you know, will carry that moment for the rest of his life. I just know how he looked at me, that he will carry that moment. He looked at me as a child, a father teaching a child, you know, that he will carry that for the rest of his life. You know, and mind you now, this is a young white guy, young white man from a very small rural town. I would dare to say they probably don't run into a lot of African-American people. You know, but when you're talking about saving souls, color has no boundary. It's about saving the soul. So it's kind of ironic because the other night, you know, I woke up and from a sleep, and I actually woke up and I happened to listen. God woke me up and I listened to this guy that was on TV, and he's a minister and ministering to a very large audience. Pastoring to a very large audience, and you may want to check him out sometime. His name is Andy Stanley, and I can't remember the name of his ministry right now. It escapes me, but that's okay. If I have time, I'll look it up. But anyhow, he was on the TV last night and was giving a testimony or teaching his audience or his congregation, and it was very troubling to me, you know, and it's amazing how God wakes me up, you know, to see certain things at certain times. And, you know, my teaching, what I share with people is for the salvation of mankind and the salvation and the saving of souls. And I don't take this lightly at all. This is my blessing. This is my calling. And to be able to, you know, as the old country folk would say, to be able to decipher the truth or the spirit of discernment is being placed in upon me, and it's a blessed and welcome thing, and I just share it with all that, you know, can come in contact or come in listening distance of my voice and things of that nature. But this guy was teaching this word last night, but anyhow. And basically what he was saying is, and through the writings of the scripture in Acts, we're going to turn to Acts 15, that it's basically okay, you know, to not abide by the law of God, by the commandment of God. And, you know, and what he's doing is trying to use this as the Gentiles' teaching or the Gentiles' delivery from God, and what they are, you know, subject to in this lifetime to be received in the kingdom of heaven, and that it differs from the Judaic or the children of Israel or the Jews' way of believing and their being received in the kingdom of heaven. But I'm here to tell you that in the day of judgment, all knees shall bow. Okay, not some. But all knees shall bow. Let's see here. Hold on just a moment, please. Let Let's see here. I just wanted to pull up something right quick. I have time. If not, we're certainly going to touch on that. And let's see. Let's see. What I'm going to do is I'm going to devote a little time to that, because as I kind of look at it, it's something I need to break apart. But anyhow, when all needs shall bow, I mean, you know, it doesn't give exception, you know, to whose knee or what knee shall bow, you know, in the day of judgment. And you can trust and believe, folks, like I said, this lifetime that we lead in the mortal realm, in the mortal sense, is not just arbitrary or by happenstance or just a coincidence or anything like that. This life that we lead in the mortal realm has a direct determination on how we'll be received in the kingdom of heaven, folks. And this is real. This is real as rain, as real as the rain that created it. You know, when God created, you know, all living things. I'll call him Hallowed when I can, if I forget, you know, forgive him, but you know what I'm speaking of, one and the same. But he was reading out of Acts 15, and basically, like he's saying, that they were definitely talking to the Gentiles in this particular caption, but what he, in essence, I hope I'm on it. I just got disconnected mysteriously. But anyhow, I'm going to continue on. If this broadcast is not completed, then I'll come back and do it again in its entirety, because it's very, very important. And what I was saying is that Andy Stanley was teaching out of, this pastor of a large following, was teaching out of Acts. And basically what he was saying is there's three things that the Gentile, he's separating the Gentile from the Jews and trying to make it seem like that, you know, the Gentile have a different set of laws or circumstances to be received in the kingdom of heaven versus the Judaic people, or the Hebrew Israelite, or the Jews, or the elders. And we're going to touch on that right quick now. And we're reading from 15, Acts 15. And certain men came down from Judea, talked to the brethren, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, this is a big issue right here that, you know, that they have, or that he has. And I can understand that about the circumcision, you know, because not all men are circumcised. But all man has the free will, if you will, to choose to abide by the law of God. Okay, this is something that is not a physical thing. It is a spiritual thing. And this is the difference here that we're discussing in this manner. And like I say, I come with this message because I have great concern that people will not be deceived and moved in the wrong direction, you know, by these teachings. And continuing on, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension or disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem, up to the apostles and elders about this question. Okay, in other words, they're going up to ask a question about the circumcision and the commandment of Moses. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto the brethren, because they was converting them, saying these words to them, and releasing the pressure, if you will, or the yoke off of them, if you will, because of what they were telling them at these particular stops. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Okay. Now,
what God had done with them. Okay, now this is their word, this is what they're saying, and you know, this is about the biblical account of this. But there arose a certain sect of Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them. Now these are the Pharisees that are saying this, and to come and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Okay, now I want you to keep a hold of the word Pharisees here. Okay, because this is a certain group of them that were going around, you know, teaching these words and things of that nature. But there was a group of them, a large following, that says you need to keep the circumcision and the commandment of Moses, the law of God. And the apostles and elders came together to consider of this matter. In other words, they had a meeting on this. And when there became much disputing, they arguing and fussing and arguing about this, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentile by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And this is Peter talking. That the Gentile by my mouth, okay, speaking to the Gentile, should hear the word of the gospel and believe this. Okay, not believe necessarily what God and Moses and Yeshua Jesus had given to man, but this is what Peter is saying, okay? And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, give them the Holy Ghost, even as he did us, he did unto us. Give them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. So he's saying, yeah, he gave the Jews or the Judaic people and the children of Israel the Holy Ghost, but he's saying that we received it too, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, okay? Put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? In other words, the law is too strict and too stern and too difficult to abide by. But it really isn't. It really isn't. The first five was to love God. And the second five was to love mankind, your fellow man, your neighbors and mankind. Not very complicated. We just don't abide by it as a human being, you know, people. But it's not difficult. It's certainly not difficult for us to do. Hold on just a moment. Okay, let's see here where we at. Key to law, Moses, and the apostles and elders came together to consider. And when they was much disputing, okay, we talked about that. And God knows their heart, okay, and put no difference, okay. But we believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is 11:15-11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua Christ, or Yeshua Christ Jesus, or Yeshua Jesus, we shall be saved even as they. Okay, in other words, you know, they're getting ready to give a testimony of what they believe that their salvation will consist of, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the dead shall be saved. Now, this certainly is much different than what Christ taught, what Yeshua Jesus taught. We'll go ahead and read on. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought amongst the Gentile by them. And after they had their peace, James answered, and this is Jesus' brother, I believe, that James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me, listen to me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Okay? And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, okay, King David, the lineage of Yeshua Jesus, which has fallen down, and I will build it again, the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, okay? So they're going to build a tabernacle, a Jewish tabernacle, King David, king of, you know, the Jewish people and stuff, the Star David, you know, we can tie that all together. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentile upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, okay? Known unto God are all the works from the beginning of the world, okay? Known unto God, okay, keep in mind, not Yeshua Jesus, for all his works from the beginning of the world. And of course, like I say, I don't know if I really touched heavily enough on the separation of Yeshua Jesus and God, but if not, then I certainly will on the next broadcast, because there's a big difference there. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, okay? But that we write unto them that they are to abstain, okay, from polluted idols, pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from these things strangled, and from blood, okay, from meats. These are the three things that they say to abstain from. And, you know, the salvation of Yeshua Jesus will save them, and they will be received in the kingdom of heaven. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Okay, for Moses of old time. Okay, then pleased at the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch. Okay, of their own company or their own kind to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief among the brethren. Okay, now this is where it gets a little sketchy. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, saying greetings, so they're happy, unto the brethren which are of the Gentile in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Okay, forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Now we gave, okay, to whom we gave no such commandment. Okay, who are we? And who are they to give no such commandment? Okay, that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave. Okay, so it seems good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, people that they have chosen to deliver this word, men that have hazarded their life for the name of our Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus, or Yeshua Christ Jesus. We have sent therefore Judas, okay, and Judas, you know, he's something else, you know, and Silas, who shall also tell you these same things by mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay you no greater burden than these necessary things. Okay. Now, what this is saying is, it seems that this is what they're speaking for the man and for, you know, that they have chosen, okay, and for the Holy Ghost. That they're changing the whole law. They're trying to change the whole law here. The law of God, the law of the Holy Spirit. And this is what they say in 15:29, that ye abstain from meats offered by idols, offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well and fare you well. That's it. Folks, I just don't know what to tell you about this in regard. Beware of false fire, beware even within the Holy Scripture. Okay, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the apostle, or the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for their consolation, okay, to being consoled in this way. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried their space, they were let go in peace. From the brethren unto the apostle, notwithstanding it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Now see, they're teaching this doctrine here, which is not, you know, the the doctrine that God gave, you know, Moses about the law. And some days after, Paul and said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. Okay, they want to go back and see how things are going since they, you know, relieved this yoke, you know, the simple yoke for man. In other words, it, you know, they can kind of behave in kind of a rambunctious manner, and it's okay to not, you know, give God his prayer. But of course, this is not what Jesus has taught us. And Barnabas determined to take with them John. Barnabas took John, whose surname was Mark. Okay, but Paul thought not it a good idea to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, Pamphylia or something like that, and went not with them to the work. Okay. And the contention was so sharp between them. In other words, there was hard feelings between, you know, what had just taken place here, that they departed asunder from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas, and he departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So they even had issue with this new thing. And they parted in a contentious manner. And the struggle that they were dealing with right there was the word of Moses or the word of the law of God versus what had just been given to them, that has been, you know, whittled down to these, you know, small few things. Now, what is troubling to me is that it says I have 90 seconds to love one another, take care of one another, it's the right thing to do, so God wants us to accept it. Because God is love, but I'm going to keep talking because I only have a few more minutes here. But what's really troubling to me here is that, you know, they are, you know, especially with this guy, you know, like Andy Stanley, and I'm sure that there's going to be other Gentile, because he, you know, he welcomely says that he's Gentile, and that's okay. Okay, that is certainly okay. You cannot, you know, turn your back or change the law, okay, the will of God, okay, because if and when you do, then you're subject to the fire. I mean, that's just all it is to it. It's in the scripture here, and and it's an amazing thing that it's right here. You know, the controversy is right here in the scripture. You know, and I'm going to go back to 15 and 28. In Acts, and it says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Okay? That ye abstain from meats offered unto idols, and from blood, and from these things strengthened, and from fornication, from which ye keep. If you do these things, you'll be okay and fare ye well. If you just do these simple things, not paying attention to the old, you know, to the law of Moses and the law of God, you know, worshiping one God, you know, and only shall he, you know, only shall him be worshiping. You know, we've touched on, you know, the law. Just go back to the Ten Commandments, go to Exodus 20, and you'll find it. But it's just mind-blowing to me that they are going to, you know, I was trying to figure out how they're going to get around the word of God, how they're going to get around the law. You know, and it was because I was drawing you a lineage between the children of Israel and the Judaic people, and, you know, through Jacob and Esau. And Esau, these are Esau's people here, you know, pointed out in this direction. And being a Jew, now they may not all be, let me just rephrase that or recapture that, Esau's people, but there's an intermingling there. And they are definitely, you know, calling themselves anything that, and just for clarity's sake, you know, anything that is not Judaic back in the day of Judaism is a Gentile. If you're not Judaic, you're a Gentile. Basically, that was the two, you know, decisions that you had to make at that particular day and time. So basically what they're saying here is this is all you have to do to be received in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, now, let's just jump over here right quick to what Yeshua Jesus says about the law. Now, this is what Yeshua Jesus says. Think not, and this is Matthew 5 and 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Nothing can change the law. It's saying it right here. Man cannot change the law. Okay? Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do it and teach them, the same shall be called the great in the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, if you teach men to break any of these commandments, which this is clearly what they have done here in Acts 15, you know, they'll be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But it goes on to say that they more than likely won't make it because, you know, narrow is the way. Okay, but if you teach, you know, to abide by the law, you shall be called the great in the kingdom. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Remember I told you to tie that word Pharisees on it? You shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. If your righteousness is not greater than the Pharisees that they spoke of in Acts 15, you shall in no way, shall you enter in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Ye have heard that I said of them in the old time, thou shalt not kill, but whoever shall be angry with the judgment. Okay, now he starts breaking down the commandments there. Okay? That's what Jesus starts to do is break down the commandments there. Okay, now, let's just recap. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? The name of this broadcast is Beware of Those. Okay? We're going to jump to Matthew 7 7 and 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? And folks, we done read this right here. We done read this over and over. And this is my greatest piece and my most favorite piece in Scripture right here. Okay? And jumping down to 7 and 21, it says, again, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. In other words, they were believing in their salvation through Jesus Christ. You know, Yeshua Christ, Jesus, that they shall be saved. That's what they said there in Acts 15. Okay, now Yeshua Jesus, out of his own mouth, like I say, I love to read the red because that is what he said. You see, I love to read the red and study the red because that is what he said. Okay, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Folks, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work the iniquity, folks. So it's all right there. You see, they're going to start trying to, you know, try to follow in the Gentile belief system to depart themselves from the righteousness and the pretty, you know, stern, you know, but fair, you know, and doable yoke, you know, of the law, okay, of the Judaic law and the Judaic people and children of Israel, the law that was passed from God to Moses to be shared amongst the multitude of mankind. And you're going to start hearing more and more about this. I'm sure they probably hear this, you know, teaching and things of that nature. And they know that they had to call, you know, sound the alarm because a lot of people are walking away from Christianity. A lot of people are going into the teaching and the path of righteousness. You know, the one-ism, one God, one people, and one way of life. You know, and this is what God wants. You know, he's saying it over and over. This is what Yeshua taught. Yeshua, by the way, and ironically, teaches the very same thing that I teach. You see, identically. You know, if you listen to what I teach and what Yeshua says, Yeshua Jesus says about, you know, about worshiping God and only he shall I worship, you know, and by, you know, doing righteousness unto your fellow man, your neighbors, and things of that nature, it's the same identical, you know, teaching. You know, this is the true word of God, you know, and we all have to abide by this because guess what? We are all judged by God, okay? We're going to jump over to Matthew 22 and 29. Okay, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, okay, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. Okay, now, again, you know, yes, where Jesus is giving God all the glory. Jesus answered them to saying, ye do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they are neither married nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Okay. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I'm the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Okay, now, what simply means, when the body dies, the soul does not. It continues on. It is of the, he is a God of the living. He is a living God. Okay, and we are living souls in a mortal or a human experience or journey. Okay. And they said, when the multitudes heard that, they were astonished at his doctrines. But when the Pharisees heard this, they had put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together. Then one of them saying, which was a lawyer, asked on him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Again, there's the Pharisees, same Pharisees we're talking about over there, the Pharisees here. Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto them, yes, what Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. When the word all is used here, folks, that doesn't mean all but a part of. He could have said that. Yes, what Jesus could have said that. But what he said here was all thy heart, all thy soul, the spirit, and all thy mind, thy consciousness. That means every day. Every moment of every day, be thoughtful of God. Be thoughtful of the Creator. Be thoughtful of the Hallowed. You see, in your works and activities throughout your day, because that is when you're walking with God. That's when you're walking with the righteousness of Him and walking within. This is what makes it easy, you know, to walk in the law, because you're walking directly with God. You're conscious of Him, you know, of all at all days and of your time, you know. And then the second, is likening it to love thy neighbor as thyself, okay? These two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets, all right? And then they went on, the Pharisees gathered together and asking Jesus, you know, saying, you know, what do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? And they say unto him, the son of David, okay? And we know that he is the son of David, you know, offspring of David. And they said unto him, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying? And the Lord answered him, my Lord, sit thou on the right hand till I make thine enemy a footstool. And if David then called him Lord, how is he their son? Well, Jesus, guess what? Jesus is an offspring or a root of David. And no one was able to answer that word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Okay, so basically they won't touch that, okay, because it's a little bit too confusing. How does David call him Lord? And he is an offspring of David, you see. But now, if we go here to the last page of the Bible, we say, and thank God he said the best for last, you know. And it's a beautiful thing, because the truth will always come to light, and it shall make us free. So we're looking at 22 and 16. And I, Jesus, sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. In other words, Jesus himself said that I am the root and the offspring of David. You know, I'm a descendant of David. Matthew 1 clarifies and rectifies that. Jesus says this over and over and over again. That's what Jesus says, and it confirms it right here. You know, so if he is the son of Mary and the root and offspring, look up the word root and offspring, look up the word offspring of David, then how can there be an immaculate conception? I call it the deception, because that's what it is. You know, either that, there's a truth and there's an untruth here. There's got to be one or the other. You know, it can't be both the same. You know, and yes, where Jesus confirms it right here when he says that I am the root and offspring of David, and he was born through the birth canal of Mary. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, okay, of life freely, the water of life, okay, freely, the word and of life freely. Okay, for I tell you, every man that heareth the word, this is the word, the law, the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto them the plagues that are written in this book. Okay, and if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from things which are written in this book. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, Lord Yeshua. The grace of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ, be with you all. Amen. See, now, this is what I'm concerned with, folks, right here. When they misconstrue and they try to jump back here, like I say, to ask to say this is all you got to do. Now, there's a conflict there, and it's written. You got to be, you know, the people that the men that compiled this Bible, you have to go back and find out who they were and what took place. Look up, Google the Council of Nicaea or the Nicene Council. And look what took place at the compilation of the scripture. You know, these men that came together to give us the scripture. The current scripture, the King James of the current scripture. Now, we have an older scripture that predates it by about 600 years called the Torah. And it is, you know, simply the Old Testament. And the Judaic teaching, the one that Yeshua Christ Jesus actually taught from or read from and learned from, was taught. You know, get one, buy one if you can. They're kind of expensive at times. You can find them cheap, but sometimes these books can be $300 or $400 a piece. You know, for a book that looks resembles the Bible, it's the same size and everything. But there's a lot of, you know, it's 600 years. The teaching predates the KJV, the King James Version, by about 600 years, and you have to look at that scripture as well. And it's okay. A lot of people fear that, but when they open it up, they're like, well, "This is the Old Testament." Well, it came the old before the new. The new came to kind of change things and move things around. But I thank God, you know, that, you know, for Yeshua that he came when he said that he came, you know, he didn't come to change the law, he came to fulfill the law, okay? And that's a confirmation of the connection that the truth shall live and shall make us free, okay? Now, that's that for right now. Donald Trump just jumped a political track. Donald Trump, he ain't gonna make it. He done dug a pit. He just can't get out of. Every time he turn around and say something, he gets deeper. When you're digging a hole, you're stuck in a hole and you're digging, the best thing to do is stop digging. You know, that's all I got to say about that. But he's about a wrap, about a done deal. So he has a small following. Like he said, I tell them what they want to hear. That's the most belittling thing that Donald Trump has ever said in his whole campaign. I tell my followers, you know, what they want to hear. And that is subject to all kinds of craziness that comes up within his mind, okay? So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. Okay, well, I guess we're done. I don't know where we left off at.